Well, we have a very special darshanit today, someone who's going to deliver a special Dvar Torah, and that's because she's a special person. I'll be going into that a little bit later. But for now, I just want to introduce someone who doesn't really need much of an introduction, since she's well-known to our congregation. Rabbi Roki Bernstein has delivered a few memorable talks here over the last few years. And if you've heard her speak, I'm sure that you remember what it was like. It's always on a very high level, or I should say maybe a very high level, because her talks impart life. She is a magid, someone who preaches the word of God in a compelling manner. And the primary vehicle of a magid, or a magid sometimes they say, is the story. And stories are not frivolous. They're not just entertaining. There's always a point to them. And very often, stories can be transforming in significant ways, particularly if it happens to turn out to be the story of your life, which actually most good stories are. They are the stories of all of our lives. And so, without any further ado, I'd like to deliver over the microphone to Rabbi Roki Bernstein. And Roki, this microphone gives you freedom of movement. You don't have to be stuck up here. You can go into the congregation if you'd like, but you can stay here if that's where you're comfortable. I'll leave it up to you.
Thank you. Toda Rabba. Good morning. Good morning, Sage. Good morning, Jade. Good morning, family and friends. I am truly honored to be here this morning for ever so many reasons, including my 65th birthday, but also because it is the first time that my grandsons together have visited this sanctuary, especially in the midst of our personal family tribe. So, I am this morning going to tell you a few little stories, and I am going to try and explain perhaps a little differently how I see this parsha, this portion called Vayera. Now, it's really quite a long story, and it has in it many parts and pieces. The part and piece that we always seem to come to is what we traditionally call the binding of Isaac. So, boys, the binding of Isaac is a story in the Torah that says that the great father Abraham was called by God to take his son, his favorite, most beloved son, to the Mount Moriah in order to make sacrifice. Now, here's where we're going to talk about something just a little bit different. Because as the rabbi mentioned, there are many ways to look at this particular parsha. Did, in fact, Abraham feel a call to take his son and sacrifice him to death for God? Well, I don't think so. And my first little clue was the fact that as Abraham was heading up Mount Moriah, with Isaac carrying the burning wood, he said to all of those that were left behind, he said, "We, not I, we will be back." Well, what did he mean by that? Because if in fact we were going to have one of those old ideas of sacrifice of people, then there was going to be no we coming back. It would only be Abraham. But Abraham said with great assurance, "We are coming back." So, what happened on Mount Moriah that day? What really happened? Well, what happened was something very, very sacred, which brings us to the word sacrifice itself, because the word sacrifice actually means sacred doings, making sacred. There was a tradition in the very old days, a long, long time ago, of giving over your eldest son to God. In fact, many traditions and religions still practice that today. The monks in Thailand, the eldest monk of a family, is given in service to the Thai temples. Well, maybe we should just take a little thought from that, and maybe we should ask ourselves what was really meant by the binding of Isaac, because that is actually not the true word. If you go back through the history of time, you will find that it is actually the word offering, not binding, not even sacrificing, that was used. So here we have the offering of Isaac. Now it begins to make a little more sense, because when Abraham and Isaac climbed Mount Moriah, what were they doing in the very beginning? They left down below, they left all of the people, the congregation that they had brought forth from Egypt, that they had brought forth from their tribe, and they were just the two of them, just the two of them. And what were they doing? They were climbing a mountain. And what do we know when we leave one place and we head for another, particularly something like a sacred mountain? We know that something sacred is going to be happening. So in this very story, we have already come to something possibly different. We have possibly come to the fact that Abraham and Isaac were up to sacre fice, sacred doings, but not necessarily in the way that we have modernly translated them. Perhaps, you know, that whole entire idea of a sacrifice was to make a sacrifice for Isaac, to God, to honor Isaac's commitment to God, that Isaac would continue the same commitment that his father Abraham had made. If, in fact, Abraham was going to sacrifice his eldest son was actually Ishmael. So this sacrifice was not about his eldest son. It was about, as it says in the Torah, his beloved, his most beloved, his favorite son. So what I would like to propose is a little revisioning of that story for a moment. When I wondered how it was that I was going to enter such a story with so many things going on in it, I decided that I would do what my teacher Reb Zalman had suggested I do. He suggested that since I was a scholastic person, I might look for inspiration into books. And the book that he had most recommended to me was a book called Gabriel's Palace by Howard Schwartz, Jewish Mystical Tale. So I did that. I quieted myself one evening and I said, okay, Hashem, okay, all of you people who help inspire me to do what I do, I need a little help here. And I opened the book, and of course, as books go, it opened to what I think is exactly the right moment. It opened to a story called The Ram Whose Horns Reached to Heaven. The Ram Whose Horns Reached to Heaven. Because after all, those of us that know the story know that at the last minute in the story that's written in the Torah today, God said, no, 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 you do not have to sacrifice your son. Look over there. And over there, miraculously over there, not noticed by either Abraham or Isaac before, most likely because it was not there, was a ram. These rams and these lambs, they show up all over in our stories, all over. But this ram was a different ram, because the ram that Abraham found caught in the thicket at Mount Moriah was one of the seven sacred things created before the creation of the world. Now, isn't that amazing? That in this little story, God had already created something that was going to be of use, a sacred thing, one of the seven sacred things created before the creation. One of the others was the Torah. Another was the rainbow of Noah. These were precious things. Well, this ram, like those other things, had waited in paradise with God for many, many centuries. And that ram knew that its job was to be this great sacrifice on Mount Moriah. So what happened? The day came. The ram appeared. God said, "This is the sacrifice that's meant to be." And the ram was sacrificed. Isaac's life was saved, never in danger, I'm sure, since he was expected back down the mountain again. And a whole new story begins to emerge. So let's leave Isaac and Abraham going down the mountain. Now let's talk about that little ram. That ram is very significant. Because when the angels brought that ram down from paradise, and the ram knew that its very job was to be the sacrificial lamb, the ram gave his life willingly. He knew that that was what his life was to be all about. When the ram returned to paradise, he wasn't very happy. And it's not because he didn't feel his life had been fulfilled. For after all, that ram had given us his tendons, which became the strings of the harp of King David. That ram had given us his skin, which gave the slingshot for David against Goliath. That ram had given us its wool, which became the coat of Joseph of many colors. That ram had given us, even more so, his horns. His horns. The first horn that was called by Moses, and the second that would be called at the end of times when the Messiah came. So that ram had given very, very much of his life, and God was very pleased for the ram to be back in paradise. But the ram, oh, the ram was not so happy. Not so happy at all. And one day he went up to the Holy One, to God, and he said, "You know, God, I was very happy to be the sacrifice. I was very happy to be part of the great induction of Isaac to carry the mantle of Abraham and to bring Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, the idea of one God forward for all time." The ram saw his great part in it, but the ram was still unhappy because he said, "You know, God, you know, great Hashem, I am unhappy because of all the things that I did, all the fulfilling of my fate, nothing of my body was wasted, but my soul, oh great Hashem, my soul, it longs to return to the world. For surely, surely, there is still more that I have yet to give." Well, the Holy One listened very carefully to the words of this very holy ram. And a few moments later, without hesitation, the angel of the Torah came and took that ram out of heaven and took that ram right back down to earth again, only this time, the ram had horns that reached all the way to heaven. Well, you can imagine what kind of ram this must have been, because the ram's horns allowed him to communicate between the world of God and the world of men. He took many messages back and forth, and he tried in many ways and served very well with these horns. One day, as the ram was walking about, he noticed an old man who was very, very unhappy. And he said, old man, what is the problem?" And the old man out of the yeshiva said, "Oh, I have lost my favorite little tobacco box, my snuff box. It was a gift from my family. It is the only thing that I have, and I have lost it." "Oh, no worries," said the ram. "Look at my horns. They go all the way to heaven. Surely you can have a little bit. I'll just bend down a little. You can just take a little bit of my horn, and you can make another little snuff box, and you will be very happy." "Really? Really?" So he did. The ram bent down, The old man took a little peace. And the next morning when he appeared at his chavruta in his yeshiva, and he opened his little snuff box, well, you can imagine, just imagine the beautiful fragrance that came out of that box. All of the men in the yeshiva, they were astounded. Oh, where did you get that little box? Oh, I made it. The ram gave me a little piece of his horn. He did? Wow. Maybe he'll give a little piece to me, and to me, and to me, and to me, and to me. So pretty soon, the men of the yeshiva had discovered that by going to the ram, who never turned them away, and bent his head low, they would take a little piece of this horn, and they would make their little box, and every one of those boxes smelled the smell of paradise. Well, pretty soon the word got round, and everybody wanted a little piece of the ram's horn. And the ram bent ever lower in order for these little pieces to be available, and a little lower as more people came. And one day his horns no longer reached to heaven. In fact, pretty soon his horns didn't even reach to the stars in the sky. And pretty soon after that, they barely touched the tops of the clouds, and pretty soon after that, they were just barely at the tips of the mountains. And soon after that, they were there, and you could barely see them through the trees, and one day, you could not see the horns of that ram at all. Well, what happened to those horns? Where did they go? There are many stories about what happened to that little ram and its horns, but for sure we know that the ram has not yet been seen again. The question, though, is, will we see the ram again? Where is the ram now? Did the ram return to heaven? Did the ram lose its horns so it just faded into the crowd of the rest of the rams and lambs? Is the ram waiting for the call of the shofar and the return of the Messiah? Where is that little ram? And what is that story all about? How long will it take for us to know? How long will it take? For some say that until the horns of the ram again reach all the way to heaven, the footsteps of the Messiah will not be heard. I love that little story. I love the idea that in this Parsha Vayera, all about so many things, there is something underlying that. There is another story. There is the story of the ram, something that came before creation. And what did the ram want to do most of all? He wanted to give of his soul. And he did not feel that his work on earth would have been done until he gave of his very soul. Hold that thought. Bob and I were in New York a couple of weeks ago. I stay a lot at the Sheraton in New York while I've been doing my Magid work, my rabbi work. And there's a wonderful gentleman named Ralph Mendez. Ralph is the doorman, and he's known me through many of these events. And as we got out of the limousine with all these people around, Ralph comes up to me and he goes, Rabbi Roki, you're back. Oh my goodness, and I have a story to tell you. I said, really, Ralph, right now with all these people? Just never mind all these people, Rabbi Roki. Come and listen to my story. He said, you know, Rabbi Roki, I belong to a church. And I have been going there ever since I was young. And when I was young, I was a trumpet player. Then I became closer to the church. This particular weekend, the head of our church decided that we men needed to climb our own Mount Moriah. We needed to go and find a sacred space where we could connect to God. So he asked me if I would bring my trumpet in order to lead everybody up the hill. He said, you know, Rabbi, I thought about it. And I thought, no. No place for a trumpet here. So I went to one of those little Jewish stores, you know, way over there where all of those people are. And I found a man who had a box, and in his box, he had all of these shofarot, all these horns, these shofars, Rabbi, I think you call them. And I found that I was really attracted to two of them. There was a short one, and there was a long one. And I didn't know which one to get because I surely knew that that's what I wanted. So I took both of them, and I didn't tell anybody about it. And there we were on our Sunday morning, climbing our own Mount Moriah, and all of a sudden, my reverend signaled me and said, "Ralph, the trumpet, lead us upwards." Well, I reached into my little bag, and out came that shofar. I hadn't even played it yet. I had no idea if I had the courage to do so. But in that moment of stepping onto that hill, I felt that God had called me for this very purpose to this moment, so I took that shofar and I blew it, and the sweetest sounds came right from heaven, Rabbi, right from heaven, and every one of us stopped in silence. And out of that silence, the shofar echoed and echoed through the hills we were climbing. And we knew by the time the shofar had stopped that we were in another place. And we were. Oh, Rabbi, the work that we did amongst us that weekend was something none of us could ever have dreamed about. We had created what you call sacred space. And when it was over, the Reverend asked me if I would again play that little horn. And when I reached in for it, I remembered that I had a second horn, the longer horn. And so I decided that I would play that horn instead. And as I did, Rabbi, as we came down the hill and the notes of that shofar sounded, we surely knew that while we were leaving the sacred space of our created Mount Moriah, what we knew was that we would never, ever, ever be the same again. "Well," I said to Ralph, "that's quite a story. And isn't it amazing that you come to tell me a story of a story that I was going to tell you? So I'm going to tell you a little story about the ram whose horns reached to heaven." Well, between Ralph and I exchanging our stories, we had actually exchanged our souls. We had brought each other into a communal agreement of the world and the great world of Hashem. So the ram that was being offered on Mount Moriah and its horns, which were used to call in and call forth, have become a tradition around the world in many ways. So was it about the binding of Isaac? Was it really about the offering, the killing, the possible sacrifice of one son? No, it was not about death, but it was, in every great sense of the word, something much more. It was about sacrifice. The sacrifice of time, the sacrifice of ideas, the sacrifice of the greatness of the possibilities of what we can do. So when Abraham led his favorite son up Mount Moriah with Isaac carrying those sticks on his back, it was not about the death of Isaac. It was about sacrifice, sacred doings, in order to initiate Isaac to carry forward. Sacrifice, sacred doings. And there is only one way to do sacred doings, and that is through our heartbeats. Through our heartbeats, the very one thing we have, our hearts beating, in breath, out breath, That is the place where we can make our great sacrifices. Because all we have to give, all that we can do for our sacred makings ourselves, is to enter our heart centers and give free.